What is there? Your prayers this morning. I have a little thought to share. I feel impressed to share it here this morning. I first want to demonstrate a little something to see, to get some input from you all. And I have in my wallet here a couple of $1 bills. I'm just going to bring one out for now. So I have here $1. And I remember as a little boy, you know, that was a long time ago, a dollar was, that was awesome. But just to imagine, just for a little bit here this morning, imagine if you were to take this $1 and invest it in something, and you end up with $2. Okay? So $2. And we would say that's doubling your money. And in most cases that I'm aware of anyway, a lot of business deals, that when someone is able to double their money, they're pretty happy, right? I mean, that's a good investment. I mean, it's just $1, but it goes to $2. So that's a great investment. But now, I want to shift gears here a little bit. What if you take that same dollar and you end up with $100? What do you think about that? Is that a pretty good investment? I would say so. I'd want to see what kind of a business plan that person has. But to put it in simple terms, I will write it on the board here of what took place. So basically what we did here is we took something and doubled it. That's twofold. It's two times the amount what you had. Then when I took the $100 bill, and it increased, or I'm sorry, took the $1 bill and it increased it to $100, that is 100-fold. It's 100 times what I had before. Now again, in the business world, I would say the 100-fold is what we'd all like, right? Of course. So I have something I want to read here in the Old Testament to get us started, lay a little foundation. So in the Old Testament, we'll turn to the book of Leviticus, the 26th chapter. And to give a little background of this chapter, actually this whole book, but specifically the scriptures we're going to read here, these are some promises that God gave to the children of Israel. And what's interesting is these were promises that God gave Moses to give to the children of Israel at the beginning of their 40 years when they're wandering around in the wilderness. And this is Mount Sinai. And so these are some commandments, and these are some statutes, ways of living, living a godly, holy lives according to God's pattern and the tabernacle. And there's a few other books here that go into some of those details as well, Deuteronomy, Numbers. But here in Leviticus, there is a promise given to those that follow and keep God's commandments. And I want to start with verse 3, Leviticus 26 and 3. It says, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely." Now I want to stop right there and just consider something real quick. You realize when this was given, they were in the wilderness. They didn't have crops and fruit trees to tend to, did they? This was talking about something over in the land of Canaan. This was, if you could say it this way, almost a double promise that I'm going to take you to that land, and when you get to that land, if you follow my commandments, then this is what's going to happen to your efforts. Your sowing and the reaping will be bountiful. And I love this part. It says, "And I will give you rain in due season." You know, this year, it was a difficult year for some farmers in the United States. They didn't get the rain in due season. They didn't get it when they needed it. And it has really hindered their crops, that industry, and some folks' bank accounts. But you know, to have something in due season, that means exactly when you need it, here it comes. And there's probably just a very few number of farmers out there that have actually had that happen. That exactly when they need the rain, here comes the rain. When they need to dry up, it's going to dry up. It probably doesn't happen that often. But in this case, the Lord is promising. He says, I will give you rain in due season. Exactly when you need it, here it comes. When it needs to dry up, it's going to dry up. But the other part of this is, and I'm not going to go in detail, verse 5, it says, and your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. What he's saying here is that basically you sow the seed, you reap the harvest, and as soon as you're done reaping this long harvest, immediately go right back into sowing more seed. There's no gap. There's no span of time that you have to waiting for several months. No, it's so bountiful that you're sowing and reaping and sowing just over. It's just a continual flow. Isn't that amazing what God can do to those that follow His commandments? Again, this is in the literal sense. And so in the Old Testament, that's how it's written. They sowed seed literally, and they fought battles literally. But as we'll get to later, there's a spiritual side of this as well. But I want to read on, verse 6. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Now notice this verse 8. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. So let's put this in mathematical terms. What he's saying here is, if 5 of you shall chase 100, if you do the math, that's 20-fold. That's pretty good. That's a great investment if you want to put it that way. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And what is that? That's 100-fold. You see what he's saying here? He's saying, if you will obey my commandments and the statutes that I have given you, and you follow my ways, he's saying, not only will I bless your crops and your increase, and you'll be full, and no one's going to be starving. You won't have any need to be asking the next door neighbors, other nations, hey, we need some help here. The Lord's going to provide for you as my people. Then he goes on, when it comes to the warfare, he's saying, you're going to be outnumbered greatly, but you're going to be go out. If it's just 5 of you going against 100, you'll win the battle. As long as you're following my statutes and my commands, he's like, it's 20-fold. That's an amazing transaction there. But he said, even more than that, 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. That's 100-fold. And so if you think about it, if you just had one person that could go out and defeat 2 people, you're saying that's pretty good, right? That's 2-fold. But he goes on, no, how about 20-fold? He's like, no, how about 100-fold, you see? That's the kind of God we serve. So many times in our own minds, we put limits on God because we're just used to 2-fold, 3-fold. Like I said, doubling your money, that's pretty good, and we can get used to that. That's awesome. Well, we might be content with that. But you know, there's people out there, in the literal sense, they're not content with just doubling their money. They're looking at 100-fold, 1,000-fold. You see what I'm saying? But if we could equate that in a spiritual connotation here, if we could understand that the Lord has so much more for us, He doesn't want us just to be content with, well, there's a little victory there, and well, that's about as far as I'm going to go. The Lord helped me then, and He's going to help me now, and well, that's pretty good. And just kind of set back and just kind of cruise through life. Where the Lord's saying, I have a lot larger territory. I have a lot more victories, a lot more battles you can win if you will but trust and obey me. All right? So when we think of, again, I want to finish reading this chapter here to conclude this part. It says, for I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you. I love that word, and multiply you. You know, for so many years, for hundreds and thousands of years, God's people, the children of Israel, Israel in itself, was so small compared to all the other nations that they went up against. Yes, there were some, maybe they were a little larger, but most of them were larger, stronger nations they went up against. But yet God would still give them the victory. Think about when they crossed over the Jordan and when they went and they destroyed Jericho. Jericho is a walled city, and yet the Lord brought victory. What an amazing defeat. I don't know if you could put a hundredfold, you could say a thousand. I don't know what the exact numbers were, but the bottom line was that was an amazing victory. But all they had to do was trust and obey. Follow what the Lord told them to do to circle the city, and the Lord brought victory. Well, and it goes on. I will multiply you and establish my covenant with you, and you shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. Again, it's so bountiful that we're having to get rid of this to make room for the new, that the Lord is just multiplying and multiplying it, not just twofold or threefold here or there, it's 20-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And then it goes on, and I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. So what he's saying here, again, these are promises in the future. They didn't experience this in the wilderness, but they were looking forward to that time in the land of Canaan. But you know what is sad is the end of this story, so to speak, when the children of Israel went over to the land of Canaan, did they conquer all the nations that God wanted them to? No, they didn't. They became content with twofold, so to speak, fivefold, maybe even tenfold. They never achieved the hundredfold and beyond. You see what I'm saying? They shortchanged themselves. They limited God because they began looking at themselves and their own inadequacies. And, oh, we're just a small little band of soldiers here. And what can we do? No, get your eyes off of yourself and other people and put them on God. He's the one that is the multiplier, okay? To take it from twofold all the way to a hundredfold. Well, I want to switch gears here again. I'm not going to actually turn or read these scriptures. We're just going to paraphrase them. Remember the parable of the sower in Mark, the fourth chapter, is one place. And you remember how it was laid out there that, well, let's go ahead and read just a little bit of that. I don't want to. So Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 16. We'll just skip on down to the 16th verse. It says, "And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they had heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so what he's saying here is, in the gospel dispensation, the intention was not just for, and this can be applied in so many different directions here, but the new church, the church that Jesus founded here, was going to grow, and it was going to explode exponentially. But it was one of those things that it took just a few of the 12 disciples to have that word sown in their hearts, and for them to receive it with gladness, and for it to grow in their hearts. Then ultimately, when they started spreading out, and it was through persecution that they were spread out throughout that area and beyond, that the gospel started to spread. And it wasn't just twofold or fivefold. It continued to grow even more. It grew some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so when we consider ourselves today, you know, I'm thankful that we in our nation, the Lord has blessed us here. And I'm thankful to be living here in America. And you know, when it was originally founded, there was those that were feared God, and they were able to establish this country with some godly principles. But as we've seen the course of life, yes, we could say maybe it's increased from twofold to fivefold to 10 to 20, so on and so forth. But folks, it goes beyond just It's easy to look at the numbers and to look out there, so to speak. And it looks like, oh, well, maybe the church is dying. Folks, the church is not dying, all right? But more importantly, we need to consider ourselves and look introspectively and say, Lord, what would you have to increase in my life? Am I content? See, the devil so often, he wants us to focus on what's going on out there and be discouraged or distracted or distraught about what's going on out there. And folks, we do have to live everyday life, okay? So I'm not talking about going out and putting our head in the sand and just ignoring the challenges and difficulties we deal with. That's not the point. But more importantly, that we consider ourselves and say, Lord, it has to start with me, okay? If there's going to be any growth in my neighborhood or in my congregation or on my job or in my state or wherever you're at, if there's going to be any spiritual growth, it has to start with me. To look inwardly and say, Lord, am I just willing and content just to take the $1 and just get one more, twofold? Am I content with that? Just $2, spiritually speaking? And just kind of go on my merry way throughout my life? When the Lord is saying, oh, if you would just give that to me and let me multiply, give whatever that is, the things that you are harboring. And I want to get to that here in a moment here. And I want to use the story of Peter. So I want to turn to the 21st chapter of Peter. I'm sorry, 21st chapter of John. And here we have Peter. This is after Jesus has already revealed himself to the disciples twice. But again, he comes to his disciples in the 21st chapter. And I love this story because I think all of us can relate to Peter. Because Peter was, he was distraught. He was full of anxiety, frustration, maybe despair, fear, worry. Who knows what all kinds of feelings he had. But I want us to understand something here this morning. We're not talking about changing the fact that we're all of a sudden not a human being and that we're a robot. That's not true, because as long as we live, we will have feelings. And I want us to understand something here. Feelings, it's not that they're all bad. They're just not a good boss. You understand what I'm saying? Don't let them rule your life, okay? But Peter was content to allow his feelings to rule his life at first, okay? In the 21st chapter, let's read and consider. In other words, Peter was willing just to get, you know, one for two, all right, so to speak. He's going to settle for less. And here it is, 21st chapter of John. It says, and Peter saith unto them, to the rest of the disciples there, I go a fishing. How many times have we heard that and thought about that? You know what Peter was doing? What he was doing was not terrible. It was actually just kind of a default reaction of what he was doing here. He was, and that's what happens when we are faced with trouble and despair and a very challenging, difficult situation. It's easy to revert back to something we are comfortable with, something we are good at, something we can just enjoy. It's like, you know what? Well, I'm just going to go, and Peter's sake, I'm just going to go fishing. Fishing's not bad, but in this situation, in a sense, he was ignoring the obvious issues here, that he had some troubles that Jesus needed to solve for him. And he didn't really see it or understand it all yet. But he said, he saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they said, and they say unto him, we also go with thee. So they all left and they went out fishing. So now I'll ask you the question, those that know this story well, what happened when they were out fishing? Were they successful? How many fish did they catch on their own? 20? How many? None. Zero. They didn't even make it to the twofold. And here, these guys are professionals. We're not talking about novices. We're not talking about little 3 or 4 year olds that can barely stay in the boat. These guys knew what they were doing. That's why Peter said, I go fishing. He's like, I know I can at least go do something, and I'm going to go catch some fish and provide for my family. You know, I imagine as they toiled, they're thinking, what is going on? This is not right. Well, what happened when they were out there toiling? Jesus met them, and he stood on the shore. They were out in the boat still, at the edge there. And he said, children, have you any meat? And they said, no. And what did he say? He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. You know, quite honestly, I can't imagine Peter hadn't done that before. He probably had. But Jesus was testing him, as in, how much are you really going to trust me, Peter? And obey. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. You know what happened there? God was the multiplier. Okay? They were toiling within their own, just what they knew to do, what they do. Again, they reverted back to what they were comfortable with, something they knew they could do, but yet it wasn't solving the issues there. They were still struggling and toiling. And that's the other part I love about this story is, when we find ourselves personally struggling and toiling with things that we don't have the answers for, and maybe we have reverted back to something that, I'm not saying it's sin, but it's just something like, well, I'm just going to do this. Oh, dear ones, I'm thankful we have Jesus our Lord that is watching us and understands where we are at. And He came and found His disciples as they were toiling, and He had a message for them. He said, cast your nets on the other side. And they did. And something amazing happened. It's as if it turned a dollar into a hundred. All right? Well, Jesus wasn't done, because He went on, made him a meal, and then He asked Peter. He said, lovest thou me more than these? He was testing him again. And this happens three times. And he's like, yes, Lord, you know I do. And in the end, what did Jesus say? Feed my sheep. You see, it was something where Peter was focused on himself. What could he do himself? He wasn't even getting the twofold, all right? He was not making any headway. But when he committed himself to the Lord and said, yes, Lord, I will trust and obey what you told me to do. That was the commandment at that time. Just like we read back in Leviticus, there were statutes and commandments. There were written laws beyond just the Ten Commandments, a whole myriad of laws. But Jesus came to transform those laws and to put them in our hearts. And he's saying, now I want to have a personal relationship with you. And that's what Jesus was symbolizing here with Peter. It was a personal relationship he was desiring to have with him, that he could write his laws within his heart. And that was one example right here. Jesus is wanting to write this law of obedience. When I speak to you, Peter, I want you to respond. And Peter did. And then even when Jesus kept asking him, lovest thou me more than these? And so on and so forth. And he's like, feed my sheep. And you know what happened after that? You remember what happened at the day of Pentecost? As they were preaching and Peter was one of them that stood up? How many were saved that day? Just that day. What was the number? 3,000. That's a pretty good ratio, isn't it? That's some amazing multiplying that God did there. And it went beyond, just because how many millions of people have read that story of the day of Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit came down and consumed them and multiplied the saving of souls and converting and changing lives forever. And to think how many millions of souls has read that story alone. And how many more millions have gotten saved because they heard the gospel message. Because they were willing to stand up and preach the gospel, not for fear of man or what anyone else would do to them. They weren't focused on themselves. Prior to that, Peter was focused on himself. He was having a pity party, so to speak. And quite frankly, any of us could be in that situation. Any of us can find ourselves there. But God doesn't want us to stay there. God will come by and pay us a visit where we can choose then, do we want to stick around and have zero-fold or just two-fold? And is that enough to go the rest of your life and that's the only growth you have? And God's saying, I would that it would be 100-fold. You know, there was another one in the Bible. Remember Isaac? He went out and dug another well, and dug another well, and dug another well. You know how God blessed him? 100-fold. It was amazing how God blessed his efforts. And so what we're saying here this morning is, it's easy for us to... I want to read another scripture in Ezekiel, the 47th chapter, in closing here. Sometimes, again, it's for whatever means, whether it's for fear, worry, anxiety, frustration, despair, whatever it may be. Sometimes we get into a situation, it's like all we want to do is just kind of sample it a little bit. It's like, ooh, and we kind of back up and say, well, that's too much. I don't want to go there, Lord. I don't want to face those things in my life. I don't want you to solve them and multiply in the Lord. It's like, I don't even really go there. And sometimes in this situation, Ezekiel, the 47th chapter, he brought him to the waters and he measured. And he brought me to the waters and the waters were to the ankles. You know, sometimes in our spiritual lives, we think, oh, we're in the water. I'm feeling the blessings of the Lord and I'm around God's people and I see God working. But sometimes that's all we do is we just play in ankle deep water. We just stick around the twofold. It's like, well, this is good. This is great. Yes, it is. But the Lord has so much more for us, folks, than just to play around in the little children's pool, so to speak. Understand what I'm saying here? God wants some more growth individually. That's how it's going to grow outside, is it has to grow inside first. Well, it went on. The waters were to the ankles. And he measured again 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Now it's raising up a little bit. Like, wow, this is great. This is getting good, you know. And so maybe it's 20-fold. That's great. But let's not stop there. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters to the loins. Now we're getting up here around the waist and the midsection. Wow, this is great. Now, maybe that's 50-fold. So, this is good, Lord. Thank you. You're revealing yourself to me, and I feel some growth there. But the Lord's not content just to keep you there either. What's He do? Verse 5. And afterward, He measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the rivers were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Folks, that's what He's wanting us to do here this morning, is just jump all the way in and let the Lord do the multiplying. It could be 100, it could be 500, it could be 1,000, it could be 10,000. Who cares? It's the Lord's business. You remember what Apostle Paul said? He says, I have sown, and Apollos says watered, but God gave the increase. It's not up to us to worry about the numbers, folks. We don't have to do that. Whether it's the literal numbers in our congregations or in the church, or whether it's the numbers in our own personal lives or the things that we've accomplished. No, that's not what it's about, folks. It's about turning ourselves and our whole lives into the Lord and jumping in all the way, saying, Lord, I am all yours. I'm not holding strings. There's no strings attached to anything. That's exactly what Peter did. When Jesus, a very simple question that Jesus asked Peter, is like, just cast your nets on the other side. You see, it starts with the little things, folks. But it grows to the bigger things, because later, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, He tapped on Peter's shoulder again on the day of Pentecost. And He's like, I want you to get up and preach now. But you know, if Peter hadn't have already been learning to obey the Lord's voice prior to that, he wouldn't have been able to get up and preach the gospel. And even later, it didn't stop there. As he continued to preach the gospel, guess what? He was faced with severe persecution until he was met with the cross, literally, and he wanted to be crucified upside down. But again, folks, if he hadn't have been faithful to the Lord and the Lord tapping him on the shoulder and saying, Peter, I got something else for you to do over here. Yes, Lord, I'll go do that. He continued to grow until when he was faced with that cross, literal cross, the persecution, he was able to stand with victory, folks. And he says, yes, Lord, I'll go all the way to the death. But he didn't start out there, did he? In fact, goes all the way back to the garden when he denied Jesus. I'm sorry, back when in the trial. He denied Jesus three times. And no doubt that haunted him throughout his life, so to speak. But yet he didn't allow that to drag him down, did it? He didn't allow that frustration with himself and the focusing on his failure, saying, oh, why didn't I do better? That would have kept him at the twofold, folks, or the zerofold. But no, he was willing to say, as Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing to that which is before us. That's what Peter did. He forgot those failures, saying, Lord, I know I failed you, but Lord, I know you can do more with me if I can just put my whole life in your hands, to jump into this river where all I can do is swim in your faithfulness and let the Lord do the multiplying. Folks, God is a faithful God. He's not going to shortchange us when we give our all to the Lord. He's not just going to go, okay, well, here's your twofold. Bye-bye. You know, we'll catch you next time. The Lord doesn't work that way. When we give our all, the Lord's sowing. Oh, in fact, there's a scripture. I want to paraphrase here. In Malachi, the third chapter, what does it say? If you bring all the tithes into the storehouse, he says, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Folks, that's the kind of God we serve. He doesn't want to just give us the twofold or threefold. That's something we can just put in our pocket. He doesn't want to just give us a 20-fold or 30-fold. That's something we can haul in the back of our pickup truck. He doesn't want to give us just 50 or 60-fold. We can haul that in a train car. Folks, he wants to give us 1,000-fold, 20,000-fold. That's something that no dump trucks can carry. It's like, where do we put all this stuff? We need bigger ships here. We can't contain all of this. And what's amazing about this is the Lord, when he blesses us like that, you know what that's for? It's not for it to be consumed upon ourselves. It is to be given out. Just like the loaves and the fishes. That little boy brought it to Jesus. He didn't have much, but Jesus took that and he blessed it and fed a multitude. Thousands of people were fed. Did the little boy do the multiplying? No, Jesus did the multiplying. All he had to do was put what he had and put it in Jesus' hands, folks. That's all. It's very simple. That's all we have to do. Take what we have, though it may be some broken pieces, though it may be some frustrations, though it may be some feelings of despair. Folks, don't let those things rule your life. Give them to Jesus. Bring the broken pieces. Bring them to Jesus. Say, Lord, here's all I have. I commit them into your hands. And the Lord can take them and not just give us twofold. He will give us 100-fold and beyond. You pray for me, I'd be faithful to the Lord.